Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 32 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Tuesday, November 29th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The city of Sitka has money to spend from a tax imposed on cruise ship passengers, and tonight the assembly could determine exactly how to do that. Projects up for discussion at tonight's regular meeting of the Sitka Assembly include money for a visitor center, another proposal to renovate the Sitka Historical Society and Museum, along with improvements to walkways at the intersection of Lake and Lincoln Streets, and interpretive signage for visitors. The projects were set for discussion at the last assembly meeting, but postponed after confusion about which were on the table. The assembly is also expected to finalize changes tonight to the way Sitka charges utility customers for diesel fuel. Right now, a fuel surcharge kicks in when the city of Sitka uses more than $50,000 worth of diesel fuel to make electricity. The amount of the surcharge is determined by taking the amount of diesel over $50,000 in a year and dividing it by the number of kilowatt hours sold to customers in the same year. The changes up for final approval tonight will allow the city to determine the surcharge based on quarterly data. At the last assembly meeting, some members of the public had objections to the proposal. Sitka resident Matt Donahoe suggested that the new structure will force those who are home in the winter to pay extra because the lakes were drained by people who are here only in summer. City officials say by far the greatest electrical usage occurs in the winter. Raven Radio will provide live coverage of the assembly tonight, beginning at 6 p.m. More snow over the weekend brought Sitka's total snowfall for November to over 32 inches, a modern record for the month. The previous snowiest November was in 1990 when 30.7 inches fell. Municipal building official William Stortz remembers it well.
That was 20 years ago, and it was, came with the house that we'd bought. It was one of those little metal, like Sears and Roebuck sort of kit sheds. You know, you'd screw them together. Yeah, it was pretty well, it was flattened.
The National Weather Service on Monday issued a special weather statement advising area residents, particularly in the northern panhandle, to be alert for increased avalanche danger and heavy structural snow loads as temperatures warm up this week. Heavy rainfall forecast for Wednesday and Thursday is expected to soak the already deep snow. Stortz says there are too many variables, such as insulation, roof pitch, and roofing material, to predict which buildings are vulnerable during heavy snow loads. He's noticed considerable differences in how much snow local buildings are carrying just since temperatures began to warm up Sunday evening. Older, less well-insulated structures, he says, are already losing much of their snow loads to melting. Newer buildings are holding more snow, but he says they are generally built to a higher standard.
Newer construction is designed, hopefully, if there was, you know, a truss manufacturer or a structural designer involved, to hold a specific snow load, and it's all calculated for the area in which we live. So I would think that, you know, if a place was built to code and built to current design standards, it should be safe enough for this concern about this excess rain falling on existing snow on a roof.
Stortz thinks some greenhouses or other outbuildings, like his former metal shed, may be most at risk since they're unheated and typically not designed to carry roof loads. Consistent snowfall records in Sitka only go back as far as 1948, and while 32 inches sounds like a lot, it is by no means Sitka's snowiest month. That happened in December 1961, when 40 inches fell. Additionally, these are sea level records. Alpine conditions in Sitka are much different. The snowpack on the Gavin Ridge measured at 53 inches on Sunday afternoon. That's more than the 44 inches reported at the base of the Eagle Crest ski area in Juneau. All this snow could be useful next summer toward replenishing Sitka's hydroelectric reservoirs, which failed to reach spill level this fall. In 2007, when the spring snowpack measured a staggering 12 feet deep above town, a Forest Service hydrologist calculated that the snow contained about 30% water. If that water percentage holds true for this November's snow, the rainfall equivalent of the Alpine snowpack at present is 15 inches. Exactly the amount of Sitka's rainfall shortage for 2011. To see an interactive panorama taken on the Gavin Ridge on Sunday, visit our website at kcaw.org. The totem pole that gives Sitka's Totem Square its name is once again standing. The pole was removed last year while state workers rebuilt a seawall and changed landscaping to the green space across from Sitka's Pioneer Home. The totem pole underwent restoration and was put back in place during a small ceremony yesterday afternoon. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
A crowd has gathered along the edges of Totem Square, which is covered almost completely in snow. Among the onlookers are schoolchildren, various government officials, and native elders. Among them, Fred Hope, who wears a white hard hat and looks up at the 40-foot pole as it's moved into place by a crane. He says he got a lot of questions from visitors last summer, wondering why the totem pole in all their brochures wasn't there.
They wanted to see that pole. They thought it was very important. And I said, well, it'll be back here again eventually, but right now it's being repaired. So they felt so disappointed because they had missed it.
The pole might not be as iconic to Sitka as its onion-domed Russian Orthodox Cathedral or its cable-stayed bridge, but since the 1940s, it's been on the map and one of the town's main sites. It's also been the source of some controversy. Designed by George Benson in the early 1940s, the pole was actually carved in Wrangell by workers with the Civilian Conservation Corps. That caused some hard feelings at the time among locals. And then there's the design. Atop the pole is a depiction of Alexander Baranov. The original design, many say, called for Baranov to be wearing clothes. But when the pole came back from Wrangell, many thought he appeared to be naked and that the pole was an attempt to embarrass the former governor of Russian Alaska. That's sort of the way Duck Diedrichsen sees it.
The stories about him from the bottom up, for Alexander Baranov, for enslaving and torturing my people. This was the end of it. This is to remind our people that the Russians aren't here. Us Klinka still are. That's why this was carved in 42.
Others, though, see it slightly differently.
Well, I do try to stay out of these things, but I have seen the original drawing, and it doesn't look like it's a disrespectful thing at all.
That's Tommy Joseph, a master carver who just completed a restoration of the pole. He says the original plans look pretty good, but that the carvers in Wrangell all those years ago might have taken a few liberties and made some changes along the way, changes that led to misinterpretation when it returned to Sitka.
It came back more or less as a ridicule pole, and that wasn't the intent, but that's what it looked like. It looked like Baranov, the figure on top, was standing there naked instead of being clothed as in George Benson's drawing originally.
Bob Mettinger with the Sitka Historical Society says when the pole was originally put up, it fostered a lot of anger. Some people threatened to deface it, and there were inquiries into whether the Forest Service should have commissioned it in the first place. Controversy appears to have calmed some in the 70 years since this pole went into place. Most at the raising on Monday said they regard it as a piece of history, for better or for worse. Tlingit Elder Nels Lawson.
I suppose it depends on who you talk to, and I don't harbor any anger over it. I like the original concept that the people of Sitka. And that's what I want remembered for my children, my grandchildren, not all the controversy.
Lawson is from the Kagwantan clan. He says it's important to know history, to learn from it, to value it, but also to look to the future.
Choose your direction based on how you interpret your issue. It could be a positive direction or it can be a negative direction. And I choose to be positive.
Tommy Joseph, the artist who restored the pole, says he learned a lot in the process, researching, for example, the knight slaying a dragon that's depicted about a third of the way up. It's apparently St. George. He also says he learned a lot about earlier restoration efforts and spent time undoing them. There are things that at the time were well-intentioned and thought to be helpful, but that artists today know to be harmful. Regardless, Joseph says the job done on the pole should last for a long time, and that the chance to work on a piece of history, even one with something of an unpleasant past, was an honor. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
To see a slideshow from the Totem Square event yesterday, visit our website, kcaw.org. Petersburg plans to object to the consolidation of competing applications to the state's local boundary commission. Petersburg has petitioned the commission for the formation of a new Petersburg borough, and Juneau has filed a petition to annex some of the same land into its boundaries. Attorney Jim Brennan gave an update to Petersburg's council last week over the phone. Brennan told the council that the LBC plans to consider consolidating the two petitions at a meeting in December. He said combining the two could slow down the timeline for review of Petersburg's petition.
The regulations say that if you file a competing petition within 90 days after another petition is let out for public comment, then you can seek consolidation of them. Well, they filed it on the 90th day. So our argument is that, we should not have to hold up our process because Juneau was dilatory in pursuing this on their own.
Staff for the LBC are reviewing public comments on Petersburg's petition and will be preparing a draft report on the proposal this winter. Juneau's annexation will have a similar public comment period once staff review that petition for any technical deficiencies. Petersburg's council gave Brennan the go-ahead to object to the consolidation. Senator Lisa Murkowski is seeking a formal inquiry into the Department of Justice's handling of an investigation into a key witness in an Alaska corruption investigation. Earlier this year, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said politics played no role in the department's decision not to charge Bill Allen with allegedly having an affair with a 15-year-old girl. Allen was the government's star witness against then-Senator Ted Stevens. A deputy state attorney general also said he considers the case closed. Murkowski has asked the department's inspector general and the Office of Professional Responsibility to investigate the government's handling of Allen. She said she would like to believe that justice staff followed the law and policies in investigating Allen, but noted prosecutorial misconduct in handling the Stevens case. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka NPA calls for mostly cloudy with isolated rain showers this morning. Highs around 43. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.